The truth is, we tend sometimes to forget a lot of things that we should remember. Where we park the car, where we're going when we find the car, and if it's in our hands and we ever lay it down, where we put it is hard to remember. That kind of makes it all the more amazing to see the odd bits of trivia and information which suddenly can pop into our brains from seemingly nowhere. I mean, it is true, we've had decades to accumulate all sorts of information in there somewhere, and it's amazing how it sometimes just pops out. As I was trying to word the phrase that you've been reading on the screen right now, an really old kids' Sunday school chorus popped into my mind just from nowhere. I barely remember it. I did work on it a bit, and it all came back. It really isn't kid-friendly. It has no talking tomatoes, no hand motions, none of that, but I do remember it. Now, some of it you may need to Google to really understand, but it goes like this. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. Dorcas had a needle. Rahab had a string. Samson had a jawbone. Aaron had a rod. Mary had some ointment, and they all were used of God. Well, throw in a little boy with a handful of loaves and fishes and a few other Bible examples you can think of if you wish. Anyway, this simple chorus was used by the committed men and women serving to mold my young life as a little boy. And it was very much indeed a part of planting an important truth in my heart that says God has an amazing track record of using unassuming, underqualified, even obscure people with whatever they have in their hands. If what we hold is meager, He will make it more than adequate for the task. If we are prepared to release whatever we have to Him, and be receptive of His abundant grace. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? I trust that you're glad to be here. We're glad to have you. Today we are continuing Pastor Jim's series on the second letter to Timothy, part of the New Testament. While he is away, we're going to be treating this morning from his own outline, lesson number 3, the title, Mentor Someone. And like the previous lessons that he shared with us, we're focused again today on two really incredible servants of the Lord and their relationship, their collegiality, you might say, along their joint journey of faith. It's sometimes hard to think of one without the other. They were so close in their journey. Here are some bits of information about Paul the Apostle and Timothy that I think will be helpful to us as we go forward a little bit this morning. First, did you know there was about a 25-year difference in the ages of these two leaders? With Paul being the older of the two and Timothy, of course, then being the younger, Timothy was a young adult at that time, and Paul was a seasoned worker. The two of them and their journey really do provide for us an incredible intergenerational model, for sure. Also, the tone of these letters would indicate to us that their relationship was strong and close, very deep and lasting. Timothy and his parents were most likely converted under the ministry of the Apostle Paul when he passed through Lystra, with Timothy about 18 years old at the time of his conversion. Paul's influence on his life really picked up about 2 years later when Timothy was around 20 and Paul was around 45 years of age. They would ultimately work and travel together very, very often during the course of some 15 years of joint responsibility. Toward the end of that time together, Paul wrote the letter that we're actually studying right now of 2 Timothy. It was actually not very long before his death. It was from prison. And it was thought that Paul was about 62 years old at that time and that Timothy was around 37. As these two had journeyed and traveled and worked together, it's evident from Scripture that Timothy became a great helper to Paul. He gained so much confidence that ultimately Paul appointed him to be the leader of the great church in the city of Ephesus. But not only that, he became a great personal friend, implied from their correspondence. Our scripture verses for today even would indicate to us that Paul viewed Timothy as a son. Their relationship was very real. It had a very human and a very practical side to their friendship as well. Part of the practical message about Paul and Timothy traveling together found in this letter indicates that as Paul wrote, while again languishing in a dank, dark prison cell, he really expressed a desire to see Timothy. In fact, he encouraged Timothy to come to him as quickly as he could, and especially before winter. And here's the practical side coming from this imprisoned old preacher. He wanted Timothy to bring him his warm coat before winter descended, and certain books and papers that he needed. Well, later in this same letter, it's in chapter 4 and verse number 6, we read where Paul truly sensed that his time was indeed very, very short. And he says that overtly in this letter that he wrote to Timothy. And in fact, historically, that proved to be true. Timothy himself stands out in Scripture as somewhat of an enigma, a stereotypical misfit, if you would, if you're looking for leadership candidates with natural eyes. He is certainly not the first for any of you that know Scripture, by no means. Think back to Moses as he expressed his personal misgivings and inadequacies when called to stand before Pharaoh. Think about David, who was the very last person, the very last one of Jesse's sons to be presented to Samuel, and yet he is the one that was chosen. Again, from what we can glean and deduce from Scripture, by what is said about him and what is said to him, it would appear that Timothy was a very timid person, perhaps a bit sickly by nature, and he also is presented as being a bit reticent, it seems, to do the work he had been called to do. But you find when Paul wrote to Timothy, his letters reflected the heart of a mentor, a life coach, we might call it today, a friend who saw through those issues of personality and disposition in the life of young Timothy and saw this young man's leadership potential despite all those personality traits and tendencies. Timothy needed someone like Paul. He needed someone like Paul in his early Christian life, who could teach him and instill in his heart and mind that God has an amazing track record of using unassuming, underqualified, even obscure people with whatever they have in their hands. If what we hold is meager, he will make it more than adequate for the task if, and that is a very big if, we are prepared to release whatever we have in our hands to him and then be receptive of his abundant grace to make it enough. Now, Paul is presented as being very focused upon assisting Timothy in realizing his full potential for God. And throughout his ministry with Paul, the biblical record would persuade us that Timothy was able to do just that. He proved himself. Now, once again, Paul regarded him as a spiritual son, according to our verse to remember today, and as my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, in a letter that he wrote to the Corinthian Christians. And this young man, Timothy, overcame all of his natural limitations to become one of the early church's most significant leaders and, again, pastor of that great church in the city of Ephesus. His leadership character ultimately far outweighed the limitations of timidity and reticence that everybody seemed to recognize in his life. Now, the question that comes to my mind is simply this: how did Paul do that? How did he effectively pursue the molding and influencing of timid Timothy to become the man for God that he became? How was he so successful in coaching Timothy? A lot about that is revealed right here in today's verses, these seven verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2. The first thing right out of the gate that Timothy heard from Paul is a very personal perspective. Find your strength, your capacity in the grace he gives you. Find your strength, your capacity in the grace he gives you. Paul needed timid Timothy to become a strong Timothy, not hide behind that reticent personality or his own list of perceived weaknesses. And he spoke extremely encouraging words to Timothy to get him to that reality. He spoke words about grace, telling Timothy that the resource for his needed strength and his needed capacity would not be found in himself or of himself, but would come through divine grace. Now, because grace is such a dynamic element, Paul's words would be heard bringing awesome, enabling, empowering courage and encouragement to the young Timothy. He heard Paul telling him, "Not of yourself, Timothy, find your source of strength in God's grace." Now, Timothy, as a follower of Jesus, was already a recipient of God's grace, God's saving grace. But it's somewhat like John expressed it in chapter 1:16 of his version of the gospel. From his, Christ's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Paul says, in effect, Timothy, find your strength day by day. Find it in grace upon grace. Find it in heaped up grace. When you need it, every time you need it, God's grace will be there to enable you. James also said it in his letter very plainly, chapter 4 and verse number 6. But he, Christ, he gives more grace. Paul even wrote about himself again in one of those letters to the Corinthians, declaring, "It's only by the grace of God that I am what I am." Timothy heard all of this, and Timothy evidently learned to stand in the amazing grace of the Lord. All of this summarizes for us this morning very easily. Whatever you feel God has placed before you to do, whether that would be privately or publicly, and you need to picture what comes to your mind and focus upon what God has given you to do, whether that's on the job, whether that's parenting your children, whether that's teaching a class, whatever it may be, whatever it is that God has given you to do, that God has placed before you to do, find your strength, your capacity to do it in the grace that he gives you. I have to be honest with you this morning and tell you, all along as I have studied and prepared and reflected on this passage of Scripture, out of everything the Apostle Paul says in this passage of Scripture, and it is replete with recommendations and information for young Timothy, out of everything he said, I am impressed again and again that this very morning, Perhaps the most important thing for us to hear is this very first thought. Find your strength. Find your capacity for whatever is challenging you this morning. Find your strength, find your capacity in the grace that God gives you, and He will help us to succeed. Have you experienced that in your life? Have you seen that in moments when you felt so challenged you didn't know whether you could survive, let alone succeed? God's grace is not only abundant, it's adequate, it's sufficient, and it's always available. Then a second word of counsel for young Timothy is seen in verse 3. Find your commission in passionately perpetuating God's truth found in Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we all should know what Paul was teaching young Timothy here, because we are all commissioned to perpetuate the gospel message in all that we do. And Paul gives an incredible model here in verse 2. He says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." I want you to see graphically what this verse of Scripture said. This admonition in verse 2 starts with Paul himself receiving truth and salvation. Think of the Damascus Road, a story of his conversion. Paul passed it on in his preaching to Timothy and his family. He now calls on Timothy to find faithful men and pass the truth message on to them so that they in turn can teach the truth message to others. Do you hear that? Paul to Timothy, to faithful men, and to others. Four levels in that one verse of perpetuating the truth of the message of the Lord Jesus. It is too easy for us to relegate this commission or this calling to those I'll refer to this morning as the official ministry people or career ministry people, if you like, the pastors, the teachers, the Jim Bradfords and the George Woods leadership types. We understand this perpetuating thing as to be part of their call, but we are frankly mistaken if we limit it to just that understanding. None of us, not one of us in this room, none of us has been redeemed to be a sponge just to absorb, or a brawny paper towel just to soak up. But this morning, I'd like to stress your role as a blessed recipient of gospel truth found in Christ Jesus. And I know we are grateful for saving truth, are we not? I know we are grateful and cherish our spiritual liberation, but do we really sense the necessity, the drive, the call, the commission of perpetuating that truth to our children and to their children, speaking generationally here? And to those around us, speaking both congregationally and in reference to that important term, our neighbors around us, I would challenge us this morning on this Connection Sunday that if He blesses you with the treasure of His person, His presence, and His truth in your life, then do the right thing. Pay it forward. The commission of Christians of any era, we know clearly, is to guard the truth. Keep it sound and solid, and then to pass it on, pass it forward, perpetuate it to those around us and to following generations. You know, the concept of pay it forward that I bring up this morning is not about a movie title, nor is it new. It can be found in history, both ancient and more recent. Benjamin Franklin encouraged it and practiced it back in 1784. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote about it in 1841. Another author, Lily Hardy Hammond, wrote about it in a 1916 work, saying then, "You don't pay love back, you pay love forward." But for us, the most significant admonition is that we've just heard of Paul, his words and his own example. I tell you this morning, our spiritual impact is not about absorbing and accumulating God's blessings. It's about receiving in order to give, in order to pay forward, perpetuating the message of God's truth in Christ Jesus. Timothy's world of the first century was one of badly distorted values, of misplaced priorities, of hugely confused thinking, and dangerous misconceptions of every description. And we know too clearly that the first century world did not have a lock on such circumstances, living as we do in the atmosphere that we live in of moral chaos and deceitfulness, a deeply troubled society with so many statistics to prove that, from child abuse to raging suicide rates from individuals, especially young people, who find absolutely no hope in the future of our culture. So Paul, wise, always mentoring, coaching Paul, needed Timothy to be strong and courageous in that toxic environment of the first century. So he called upon three distinct metaphors to guide Timothy to stand in the strength of God's grace, in perpetuating and preserving and passing forward the clear message of God's truth in Jesus Christ. Those metaphors concerned the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. First, like a good soldier, Paul said, be tough and follow orders. That's the Revised Tucker version. The NIV says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Like a good soldier, Paul says, be tough and follow orders. The realities of war and wars in our world drive home the truth to us all the time that military soldiering is a lot more than polished brass and marching bands on parade. When conflicts erupt, it is about hardness and hardship, about suffering and enduring. Yes, a toughness that is required of the soldier. Forgive a really bad secular example, but I enjoy a fictional TV program called NCIS. There's a version called NCIS Los Angeles, another one called NCIS New Orleans, and I'm hoping that someday there'll be one called NCIS Springfield. I love to observe the various members of the team, those teams of crime fighters and protectors of our nation. One of my favorite characters is a character on NCIS Los Angeles, and his name is Sam Hanna. He is played by the real-life rapper that we know probably by his performance name as LL Cool J. What an awesome, individualized name. I've probably daydreamed a couple of times about having a name like that, being called maybe Pastor DJ Cool T. Probably wouldn't work. He plays one tough ex-Navy SEAL. Afraid of nothing, hard as nails, never backs down, never shuns a challenge, yet very wise and very smart. With Sam, I observed that it's about mission and commands and commission and leadership and training and never backing off and never giving up. So Paul calls Timothy and each of us to engage spiritually in the conflicts of the ages in a very similar manner. He says, be tough, keep your orders in view, and follow them explicitly. To get ready for tough going, there is always spiritual opposition to spiritual truth. It will always be hard. Be tough and be strong, Timothy. Train to follow orders to fulfill your mission like a good soldier. Then he continued by pointing to the athlete, so important in the Greco-Roman world of the first century, making it a very contextual metaphor for sure. Like a good athlete, don't step out of bounds, Paul says. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. I would just say simply that the very last place an athlete wants to be is over that white line, off the mat, outside the lane, in foul territory. The solution then is this: learn the rules, accept the rules and the parameters, do the training, and abide by it. It is said that in the early Olympiad of the Greco-Roman world, each athlete had to complete an obligatory 10 months of hard training. No exceptions, no excuses for the rich or the famous or the superstars. Everyone had to do it, and more so, they had to sign a solemn oath when it was over that they had indeed followed that rule. Well, in our day, with dishonored cyclists and pro sports arrests for everything from dog fighting to domestic abuse, we know about stepping out of bounds and breaking the rules. The fact is, God's truth flows within boundaries and borders. It has a very adequate rule book explaining it all to us very, very nicely. Passing the treasure of truth involves preserving it in its entirety and it's in clarity. Jesus is forever the Son of God, we pass down. Jesus offers salvation to everyone who believes, we pass it on. The Bible is forever God's inspired word. We hold that to be true for every generation and on and on and on. There are boundaries in which we perpetuate God's message, boundaries of truth that are not to be violated. Learn the guidelines, the resources, the regulations, and don't step out of bounds. Now Paul's ready for his final metaphor. Like a hard-working farmer, diligently sow and reaping will follow. The Living Bible states this verse like this: work hard like a farmer who gets paid well if he raises a large crop. I pastored a church 7 years, which was steeped in the context of all things of cotton farming. I got to know during that 7 years the ups and downs and the fortunes of the American farmer very well. The importance of rain, how critical even humidity levels were, how important it was to have needed heat and sunshine at the right time, the terror of insects, and the back-breaking labor involved in raising a crop. I was surrounded by hard-working farmers, every one of them. One, a deacon with me in our church and a lifelong friend thereafter, somewhat illustrated this verse. His name was Otha. Otha is now with the Lord. First, if there ever was a hard-working farmer in this world, it was Otha. Secondly, he had an unusual name and he had a most unusual way of tasting or partaking in his harvest. When the first cotton was picked, he would inevitably reach into the growing pile of snow whiteness and grab a bowl of cotton and pop it in his mouth with a large grin. Months of hard work now paid off. Every obstacle defeated. It was his. Not a portion, but all of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's the one who put his whole heart in it, placed everything on the line. In that sense, it was his fruit, evidenced by that wad of cotton hanging out of his mouth and that wide grin. Like many of you, I've had opportunities to speak into the lives of others, to mentor others. Some needing help, others needing guidance, others wanting to grow, others waiting for advice and counsel, and gladly accepting it, and some just friendship. It's an amazing feeling to see God accomplish His work when we are prepared to give Him all that we have in our hands to use as He wishes in the lives of others. And finally, Paul says to Timothy, don't dismiss this counsel. Seek God's understanding for you personally. He said it in these words in the NIV: think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Don't dismiss these words. And I would repeat that counsel to you this morning on this Connect Sunday. Don't dismiss this counsel of the Apostle Paul. Find your strength, your capacity in the grace he gives you. Find your commission in passionately perpetuating God's truth found in Jesus, paying it forward. Like a good soldier, be tough and follow orders. Like a good athlete, don't step out of bounds. Like a hard-working farmer, diligently sow and reaping will follow. Don't dismiss this counsel. Seek God's understanding for you personally. And that's simply what I wish to say to you this morning. Don't dismiss this counsel on this Connect Sunday. Don't say it's not for me. Don't hide behind your perceived weaknesses or all the reasons you can come up with why God is not asking you to do anything. Because God is telling you, forget all about that and find your strength and your capacity in the grace that God will give you. Think of your context. Think of those who you live with, those who know you, those you work with. Think of those you worship with right here this morning. How many times have you looked across this congregation into the face of someone you don't have a clue who they are? You don't know whether they feel welcomed or not. You don't know whether they've found new friends or not. These are people that make up your faith family. Think about those who depend upon you every day, those into whose lives you speak strongly and regularly. What would be the impact if all of us reviewed the treasure store of God's blessings which have accumulated in our lives if we decided with new determination to pay it forward? Our spiritual impact is not about absorbing and accumulating God's blessings. It is about receiving in order to give. It's about paying forward, perpetuating the message of God's truth in Jesus. Let's for just a moment, let's close the notes and forget about the formalities and let's just think for a moment. Think back to those individuals that spoke into your heart and life. Think back to those individuals that opened the door of salvation to you. Was it a Sunday school teacher? Was it a parent? Was it a neighbor who took you to church? Was it a friend? Was it a television preacher? Think of who spoke into your life and paid forward the truth that they had received in Christ Jesus and brought you to a moment of your own personal salvation. And then let's be honest with ourselves and ask of ourselves, how much do we think about paying it forward to others, to faithful men who can pass it on? It's a very important concept. It's really the heart of this Connect Sunday. We pastors, we see you at work and see you take new people under your wing and shepherd them, as it were, through getting to know Central Assembly and getting to know how to be a part of our congregation. Unfortunately, I think probably all of us see others that remain on the fringes for whatever reason, needing somebody commissioned to pay it forward and being drawn by the Spirit to be their voice that passes it forward into their lives and makes them alive in Christ Jesus. If God's calling you to something like that, could well be that the Lord is speaking to somebody's heart this morning more specifically about more specific ministry. That's why that phrase, look to God's grace to find your strength and capacity. Perhaps that's why it's so strong in my own heart and mind this morning, that somebody here is dealing with that very issue and you need to be mentored to the point of learning that it's not in your strength, it's not in your capacity, it's in Him and His grace that He gives heap upon heap again and again to make us who He wants us to be in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me, please? I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than just bow before the Lord. Now, Father, thank you for the wonderful people that make up this congregation. Thank you, Lord, that they come Sunday after Sunday to hear and receive your word. And I pray that word will penetrate deep in their hearts today. Lord, for any that feel so restricted by their own limitations, by their own shortcomings, by their own timidity, by their own fear, by their own hesitation, by their own restrictions, God, would you just breathe into their hearts today a personal word to find their strength in the grace that God will give them. And Lord, any of us that might be indifferent and might be so self-consumed that we're not looking at others, would you just transform us in that way of thinking? This very Connect Sunday, before we leave this room, before we leave this campus, Lord, would you breathe into our hearts an unction, an inspiration, an instigation to go to someone and just say, hello, my name is, how are you, who are you? Speak into that life. Father, I just really seek you for a transformation attitude in our family of faith. Help us never to be contented to see people, so to speak, come in the front door and go out the back. Help us to always seek to offer ourselves, to speak into lives, to pay forward the incredible treasure of God's truth in Jesus Christ, of which we are recipients. Bless us today. Open new doors for us in this respect. Use us powerfully and mightily in this way for your glory. May new people be touched. May the lost be brought to an awareness of Jesus Christ. May our neighborhood be challenged and won, Lord, for the love of Jesus that we present. Use us, Lord, as we take who we are and what we have in our hands, realizing as feeble as it may be, you can use it mightily and powerfully when it's touched by your grace. Do this today. Do this in all of our hearts. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Would everybody join me in saying, amen, amen, amen. Don't dismiss these things, Paul told Timothy. I just encourage you to think on them and find ways to put them into action in your own heart and life. God bless you today.